Hello.
Hi again.
Hey.
So apparently that was my Skype deciding to do an automatic update, which
Aha.
messed everything up.
That's not good.
Yeah, but we're all set now.
All right.
So if you're ready, we can just get right down to it.
Yep, I'm ready.
All right. So let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring or fall or summer, and your major.
Sure. My graduation was spring 2007, and my major was professional music.
All right, the cafeteria major, as they say.
Is that what they call it now? Oh, man. All right. It's had all kinds of names,
I
I
know.
feel like it
I mean,
was.
sorry. That's the nickname. It's
That's
still
the,
playing
yeah.
music.
No, sure. No, yeah. It's not going to be on the degree cafeteria music. Yeah. But that's cool. Yeah.
Cool. All right. What was your principal instrument?
Principal instrument was guitar.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll get to your full history later. But for
Sure.
now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
Yeah, so I live and work in Venice Beach, California, and I work for a tech company. And what I do is I'm responsible for the product design, specifically our. So what we do is we run.
Yeah, what's the company name and the.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, so the company name is called Stack Commerce. And what we do is we work with different publishers, online publishers, and we build e-commerce stores and we put them on their site. So you have like a publisher like USA Today, for example. People go to that site to read articles, and sometimes they post articles about products. So what we do is we write articles about products, and then we give them these articles that they can put in there on their site. And then that directs the user to a store on their site that we power. So basically, we are a content and a commerce tech company. That's
So you
that's
help
the easy
places.
way.
So I've seen like newspapers, you mean where you go to the archives and to see an old article is a few dollars. Is that what you're talking about?
Not quite. It's let's see. If you were to go to I don't know. Let's see, CNET or USA Today or like a lot of different like type of like niche publishers like Cult of Mac or The Next Web. You're looking on their homepage, let's say, and you see all the different articles, and you're scrolling through the articles. Well, one of those articles is ours, and in that article there is a product that they're representing, and then that product links to a store on their site that we power. So we essentially write the content for these products. We serve it to these publishers. They put it on their homepage or in their news feed, and then we build a store to support the products that they are promoting.
And I'm sorry, products like,
So it could be anything from, I mean, we're in like four different what we call verticals. So we have everything from e-learning. So like online courses is a huge portion of the products that we sell to digital like software and apps. Then on the physical side, we sell like men's and women's lifestyle products.
Gotcha. How large a company is it?
We are about 55 people, so it's pretty small, it's a smallish medium startup, I guess.
I see, still sort of in the startup phase and hoping to get
Yeah,
bigger.
we've been around for about 5.5 years, so we're like just out of that. And we've been around long enough to know what we're doing and to have it work, but. We're still young as far as like we're still exploring other opportunities. So, yeah.
Understood. And now you said you were, did you say product manager?
So I do product management is part of my job.
Yeah,
But
what's your title and.
my title is Director of User Experience. And basically what that means is when you're on a website like especially an e-commerce store, My job is to make it easy for you to find what you're looking for first. Make it easy for you to buy things. Make the checkout flow very intuitive, easy, not confusing. My job is to make things work well for our users, and that is across kind of our entire platform. And then the other side, in doing that, it's coming up with features to enhance the user experience as you're shopping on our site or as you're looking at our articles. And
you said product designer.
But as part of that, it's product management as well. So I have a team of developers that I work with that that they build the features that I come up with. That my team builds. And then, I work with them every day, and, we're a tight-knit team, and it's great. It's very different from music, but I apply a lot of the same things I learned in Berkeley, specifically in the realm of improvisation. I improv a lot. In this business, in my company, everything is so fast-paced. You have to you're making decisions on the fly sometimes, and you have to get work done quickly. I mean, as in any kind of tech startup, I guess. So there are times when I find myself improvising, and I've learned really, really well how to improvise from Berkeley. So I guess in some way I do translate that.
Cool. Yeah, we'll go into that a little more later. So. Are you basically the one person at your company who does what you do?
I'm the one person who does what I do. We have two other product managers. They do strictly product management, though. They don't do any of the design. And they manage different teams, different sides of the product. So, our company, we have the shops as one product, which I manage. Then we have an internal admin tool, which another guy manages. And then we have our business to business tool, a partner dashboard that the third guy manages. So those are the three basic products that we have, and so they do that. But I design for all three, and then I manage the shops.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Let's see. Can you zoom in a little bit now and take us through your typical day at work, or if the days vary too much, your typical week?
No, yeah, this is great. So I get into the office and it's hectic, right?
Around 9.
I get in around between 9 and 9:30. It's not the time is not strict, as long as you get your work done, that's all anyone cares about, which is great. That I love that flexibility here.
Depends but why so we're doing this interview now.
Yeah, that's why I can do an interview with you during a work day at work. So that's why we're here. So typically I come in, two of my developers are in Brazil, so they're 5 hours ahead of me. So by the time I get into work, they have already been working for, 4 hours or so. And
a quick point clarification.
Yeah.
Brazil is 5 hours ahead of us? Oh, right, you're in California.
I'm in California, yes.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, no. East Coast, West Coast, difference. So when I get in, there's typically already either they've already finished something for me to look at, or they have questions for me. And so my first hour to 2 hours of the day is basically making sure they have everything they need, and answering any questions they have, and looking at all the stuff they've done. So basically, first day is the first part of the day. First 2 hours is basically dealing with working with the developers, the engineers. After that, I basically have a running list of priorities, and I kind of just go through them accordingly. And that can be anything from like redesigning a certain page, specking out like a new user flow of across different pages, or you know, like writing emails. I write a lot of emails, so that's part. And then usually then I go to lunch. Lunch is pretty casual, and then I come back, and then by the time I get back from lunch, my Brazilian guys have left for the day. So. Which is nice. It gives me some more time. It gives me time to focus. So that's really when I focus on kind of getting the next things prepared, either for them, you know, to work on like the next day.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I every day at 6 o'clock, me and another coworker, we have what we've called magic hour. So I've recently become obsessed with like sleight of hand and playing cards. So we perform magic tricks for each other to practice our tricks to see how we're doing. So every day that's how we end the day. 6 o'clock, magic hour, sleight of hand.
That's fun.
It's awesome.
Cool. Without going too much into your history. Like, I'm curious because product design is, it's one of those fields where a lot of people could do a really bad job.
Yeah.
But it's a very high-skilled job. And, like, how did you pick up the skills for that? Did you take courses? Did you do a lot of your own research? Did you just sort of gradually ease into the role?
It's a great question. I didn't take any classes. So I taught myself utilizing the free resources that exist, Google and YouTube. And I've always been interested in like design, but it was always from like, a graphic design standpoint. Like I would sometimes design like concert posters or album artwork, never like anything on the web. And then I started kind of getting more interested in like this user-centered design. And yeah, I just started researching everything I could about it. And I finally... how detailed do you want me to get?
Well, we'll go into like detailed history later, but if yeah, just maybe a quick overview.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, so I guess started with an interest in graphic design. Kind of did that casually, you know, for fun, and then started getting more into user design, and that's when I started taking that more seriously. I spent a lot of time researching. Like basically the best practices and all this stuff. And then once I got my first job in as a designer, I basically would just ask, you know, the engineers all these questions to just try and learn as much as I could. And then, you know, eventually, like, I got to a point where I actually knew what I was doing. So, yeah.
Awesome. So, I mean, you did mention being interested in it. And I can certainly hear you talk with enthusiasm about what you do. But I'd like you to articulate, because one of the categories to do these interviews is that you enjoy your field and ideally
yeah.
your job. So mm-hmm. if you could kind of articulate, what is it about your field and or your job that you enjoy?
Oh, yeah. I love my job. I, you know... It's funny. I never thought I would enjoy something outside of music, like as much as I do design and product in the product world. Music has always been my number one passion. When I come into work today, like I never have like a Monday. Every day is like a Friday to me. Like there's no. It's like everyone's like, oh man, it's Monday. I'm like, so like you know I like. Mondays are great. I have fun at work. I literally do what I love, and it's amazing. I mean, Kevin, I did, I felt the same way when I was doing music full time. I felt exactly the same way. It's like, oh man, I wake up and I go to quote unquote work or whatever, and whether it's like touring or something, and it's like, okay, this is a pretty sweet job, like I love this. And that's how I feel at my job now in this industry, and working in tech, as a, as a product designer. It's a lot of fun for me, and I get a lot out of it, that kind of the similar things that I was getting out of music in a different way, but just like the similar type of satisfaction, I guess.
Very nice. And by the way, about how many hours a week do you work? I'm sure it varies.
It varies. Probably around 40 to 50, probably closer to the 45, 50 range.
Okay, cool.
But again, I do the things I do for work, I do in my free time sometimes. So it's like, it's kind of a very blurred line between how many hours I work, because it's not like I don't want to say like, oh yeah, I work 50 hours a week, and it's like, people hear that, it's like, oh, you have to work 50 hours a week to do this, and it's like, sure. It's like, no, it's like, imagine spending 50 hours a week doing what you love. Like that's how I approach it. That's how it seems to me. So yeah.
Understood. All right. So, hey, let's take it back to 2007 now, or earlier if need be,
Okay.
because it sounds like you probably weren't thinking product designer.
No, not at all.
So, hey, put us in your headspace and kind of what you were doing as you were finishing up Berkeley, and then we'll take it one step at a time from there to where you are now.
Yeah, so when I was finishing up Berkeley, there were a lot of things I wanted to do, all music related. That was one of my problems, was like I was interested in too many things, and like, I was always jealous of the guy who's like, all right, I'm gonna be a killing jazz guitar player, and I'm just gonna play modern jazz in trios in New York. It's like, dang, that's awesome that you know that. I was like, oh, I love like playing hip jazz lines, but I like songwriting and I like composing and all this stuff. And so when I graduated, I was like, I'm from the West Coast. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area, so I knew I was going to move back to California. I knew I wasn't going to stay in Boston, but at first I thought I was going to move to LA, like a lot of Berkeley alumni do, and I didn't at first. I moved back to San Francisco and the Bay Area, and then I just kind of. That summer, I basically took that summer to kind of think about what exactly I was wanting to do.
Gotcha. So you were moved back home, basically?
Exactly. Moved
Yep.
back home. And then kind of was figuring out which direction I kind of wanted to go in, while simultaneously writing music, recording music and stuff like that. I wasn't just sitting, around, I guess. And so, I met some guys that were in a band that wanted to take me on tour, and so I did a little West Coast U.S. tour, and then with these guys, and then from that it kind of expanded. Half the band was in. Half the band was Dutch, and so they were based out of Amsterdam. So they asked me if I wanted to record a record and then tour Europe with them. And so I said, absolutely. So I moved to Amsterdam.
Just living the music dream.
Exactly, Kevin. You know it. So, I mean, it's like, all right.
What's the band's name, by the way?
Yeah, so this was a singer-songwriter. His name was, the band was called Benjamin Winter and the Make Believe. So Benjamin Winter was the singer-songwriter, and then we were the Make Believe, I guess. And but it was so much fun. So that was when I moved out to Amsterdam. That was, I think, like 6 months after. At this point, it was like 6 months after I graduated.
Sure.
So I moved out to Amsterdam. It was amazing. I mean, it was I didn't know anyone out there except for like my bandmates, and they all like had their own places and their lives, and so like I felt kind of like an outsider at first because I had didn't know what to do, and but eventually it became like totally fine. I developed a routine out there. I loved it out there. We recorded a record, and then we toured, kind of all over Western Europe, and it was such a great experience for me to be able to do that. I feel like, I mean, growing up, that was like what I wanted to do was tour, and I had that, I got that opportunity, and I mean, we weren't selling out arenas, but I was making a living off just doing that, and that was amazing to me, and so, I stayed out there for about 5 or 6 months and then moved back to the States, back
Whatever,
to
but just like
California.
the tour wrapped up and
Yeah, so the tour and the album wrapped up and then moved back. I moved back to join another band actually. And then I joined that band and then we subsequently toured across the States with that band.
how fun.
And yeah,
So, oh, you're on this great music career so far, so what pulls you off of that?
Great question. Two things. One, the band I left to join was signed to a major label, and I thought, growing up, you're like, at least for me, I'm like, okay, I want to be in a band that's signed to a major label, and that would be great. Problem is, in 2008, around that time, the music industry was very different from when it was in, like, I don't know, 2000. And so everything was very different. What I learned was being signed to a major label doesn't, guarantee or equate to anything necessarily. There's a lot of red tape, a lot of, you're not in control of like a lot of things. And I got really jaded on the music industry in particular because it was always like, they would send us out for like a few tour dates here and there. They'd put us in the studio, and like we'd always be like, "Oh yeah, like this close to doing something." And it was always it was just that. It was always like this close, and that was like 2 years of that. And so I was like, "All right, you know what? Like this is not really happening." And so
Did the
I moved
band
to
break up, or you just decided to leave?
the band. We broke up. The singer left. We were all lived in the Bay Area. Singer left and moved to LA. I followed him down there 7 months later. So then I moved to LA. And then I moved to LA to do more like I wanted to get into composition for film and television. And LA is a great place to do that. I like the idea of doing music and staying in one spot, not having to tour around all the time.
I've
I
heard
love
it's a
tour.
grind. Never done it
Yeah.
myself, but
Yeah, it can be a grind, especially, I mean, I've never like I've never had a tour bus. I never lived the Coldplay lifestyle. So I'm sure doing that is a little bit different, but we've played some big shows. We had some good, decent success, and it's still just it is a grind, like you said. So I was like, all right, I've always been interested in composition, so I'm just gonna go try it, and I'll just see what happens. And so I moved to LA to pursue that, and I made some good connections right away, and I started doing a little bit of work. But in between that's when I started like doing more design. Basically, I it was that was the first time I started actually doing
you
design,
mean like graphic design?
graphic design for like that was the first time I started doing it for like as freelance work,
So you were basically kind of getting into it, figured you were getting some composition work, but not like a full-time job's worth.
Correct.
So was this more like, hey, I need to find a side thing to make
Yeah,
some more money?
exactly. So that's when I was started to do like freelance work. And
And can I ask the graphic design you were doing? Because you initially mentioned album covers, like were you staying within the music industry, or were you happy to, design something for a shoe store if they asked?
Oh yeah, no, I design for anyone. Like, so I guess one step I skipped in right before I moved down to L, or right as I moved down to LA, I built an iPhone app with my brother, and I designed it, and we had an engineer actually code it, but I designed it, and that was my first foray into anything user-centered. I thought, oh, I can design an album art, I can design an app, which is really a ignorant way of thinking, but it worked well enough, and that was like the only thing I had that was in the user-centered design world. And so,
A quick question. I'm guessing it didn't make you a millionaire, but was it a significant success, or was it more like a learning experience?
it was more like a learning experience. I will say, as I started interviewing for jobs, I will say it got me my first job in tech. I'll say that for sure.
Cool.
It's most people have a lot of idea. A lot of people have ideas for apps. Most people don't build them. So I actually went through the process and built it. So that
30-second summary of what the app did.
It was called Dual Pic, and it was a photo contest app. I was obsessed with Instagram, and my brother and I would try to have photo contests via Instagram to see who got more likes on a picture in a similar setting. But since I had like way more followers than him, it was like not fair because I would get more likes just by the fact that I had more followers. And so we're like, we should build an app that is agnostic of how many followers you have, and you just take two pictures, and then it gets put up, and people can vote which one they like, and then whichever one wins, that's the contest. So yeah, it was cool. It was fun, actually.
Okay, so now there you are, and you're starting to do graphic design work as a side thing. So some composition, not enough to pay the bills. You're like, hey, graphic design's fine.
Exactly. And so then I'm like, I'm really liking this. I want to pursue this full time. And I applied
What
to
year are we talking about, or sort of how long
this.
it trend?
This is 2012. So this is summer of 2012.
So
And
how long were you doing this graphic design part-time before you said, like, hey, this is great.
summer of 2012 is when I moved to LA. I decided I wanted to do that full time, actually really pretty quickly after that, probably in August or September, probably September.
Gotcha. So it didn't take long. Can I ask
No.
what was the drive for you wanting, because you went there thinking you'll be a composer, and then
Right.
pretty quickly you changed your mind, you decided to go another path. Now, obviously, it's been a good path for you, but I'm curious, was it, some people switch over because they're just, all these people want to pay me for this, and no one's paying me for this, and other people it's just like totally fall in love with the material, find it more fun. And I'm kind of curious, what was the impetus that got you to switch?
I guess it was a couple things. Certainly, the fact that people wanted to pay me was intriguing. I'm not going to lie, but I legitimately enjoyed it. And what I kind of started figuring out was if I did that as like my main job, then I could pick and choose which music projects I wanted to work on rather than taking everything, which I derived more satisfaction I learned out of that than having to just take everything to pay the bills, per se. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense, and would you believe me if I said I've heard similar things from other people?
Sure. I don't doubt that. It's and like don't get me wrong, like I have not abandoned music as far as I still play almost every day just in my apartment or whatever, like I'll play with friends. Music is still very much a part of my life. It's just not my main, it's not like I don't do it for a living anymore or anything. So
Totally understood.
I always get like some people are like oh, you went to Berkeley, and like, oh, do you even like play anymore? It's like, yeah, of course, I still play. I just don't like, I would never abandon music. I mean, that's just not, I spent too much time learning how to get good at music, and I just enjoy it too much. So,
Sure. Actually, to save, I normally do ask that question later, but since we're on that topic, you say you play sometimes with friends. Like, do you, do you do like paid gigs ever, or is it just sort of pure fun?
Yeah, no, every once in a while I'll do a paid gig. And actually, I was like just thinking the other day, I was like, hey, I haven't played a show in a while. Like, I'd like to do that. That'd be fun. So yeah, I'll certainly do that. I do, like, I'll do a little bit of session work. Like this past year, actually, I just did my first feature film. I did music for that, actually. So I still, I still will do things here and there.
Sure.
It's just when I have time and my level of interest for
Cool. Can I ask, was the feature film like a paid thing, a no, or
Yeah,
no?
it was a paid thing. So, the name of the film is called Daisy. It's kind of like a romantic comedy,
Okay.
and it did pretty well on the festival circuit. It's not like a box office blockbuster type movie, but it did yeah, it got a lot of great reviews on the festival circuit. And I mean, also I developed great relationships with the team, the director and the producer and stuff. And and that was a fun experience to do, because again, I still like composition and stuff, and I still always think of, anytime I go to a movie, I always like and aware of the music, and I don't know. So it was a fun project to do. I really enjoyed that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so all right, so there you are. Let's take it back to 2012, where we
Yeah.
left off. So you're like, hey, this graphic design stuff, it's lucrative. I get to do what I want. I can still do music side. So let's do this. What then happens? Because you'd been working freelance.
Right. So then I was like, I'm going to apply to all these jobs to try and get in, or to try and get a full-time job. That was a very difficult experience. I was essentially unemployed, I guess, doing freelance stuff, but I was unemployed for like 6 months. So I sent over well over 100 applications, but because I didn't, A, have a background in design or a degree, or a degree in design, it was very hard for me to ever get a response back from when I submitted an application, let alone an interview. One thing I could control was my portfolio. So I was like, I can't change the fact that I don't have a background in design. I'm not going to like go back to school for that, but I'm just going to build up a big portfolio just to demonstrate that I can do the work that they're asking for, and so that's what I did. I spent my days, I'd go online, I would learn, I'd go through a tutorial online about like how to like best landing page best practice or something, and I'd learn that, and then I would mock up a landing page, and then I'd put that in my portfolio. And I did that, for months, until like I developed a pretty good portfolio across different applications of design to really demonstrate that I could design. And then so in April in 2013 is when I got my first full-time job as a designer.
Great. Do you recall the process of how you got this job? Was this just, application number 109 and it finally hits, or was.
Yeah, well, so keep in mind, the more I'm applying, the bigger my portfolio is getting, and so the kind of like the more credibility I guess I'm having to some degree. And also I was still doing frereelance design, so as I was doing that, I guess the experience with that was still there, and maybe that helped to some extent. But
But it was
yeah,
just
so
one more application.
it was just like one more. Yeah, it is literally it, the that was that that 6 month period was a very stressful period in my life, if not the most stressful period in my life, because I was like, okay, I moved down to LA, nothing is seemingly working, and I'm 27. I was like 27, 28 at the time, 27. And then I was just like, you know, this is, I need this to work. And so it was very stressful. And then I remember I started getting like a couple callbacks for like interviews. Mm-hmm. And then I got my first in-person interview. And I'm really good at interviewing. So I said, just get me in that door and I will sell myself and I will get hired. So I had my first in-person interview and I got the job. So that was in April of 2013.
And I never asked about current salary, but would you be comfortable sharing approximately what that first full-time graphic design job?
Yeah, so my first full-time graphic design job, it was on a contract base. Even though I was full-time, it was like a 7-month contract, and they are paying me $29 an hour, so roughly $58,000 a year.
Not bad. Cool. So as you said, it was a 7-month contract. I assume it's now 7 months later.
Yes, contract is up, and they're like, hey, contract is up. You know, they didn't have they were like switching some things in the company, and so they didn't need my role anymore. And so they said, you know, at the 6-month mark, they said we're not going to renew the contract, and they told me that, and so. I was like, okay, you know, so I had a month to basically figure out my next move. Mm-hmm. And that was actually like one of the best things that happened. I was, because at first I was like, oh, I hope I get renewed. I hope I get renewed. I'm so glad I didn't, because it led me to my next job, which paid me a lot more and was a lot closer to where I lived and was more involved in doing what I, you know. Still LA. So yeah. So my first job was about an hour commute each way. Yeah. And then my second job was like 30 minutes, only 30 minutes because it's LA, but it was like, there's a difference between 30 miles and 10 miles. So yeah. Basically, yeah. Yeah. So it was great.
Was this another job where you just did a bunch of applications and,
This one I applied to, I think I applied to four places, and I got interviews at all four. And the second place I interviewed at two places. The first place I interviewed, I didn't really like the company, and then the second place I interviewed, I liked the company, and they made me an offer and I accepted. But it was funny.
It's easier to get the second job than the first
one. It's a lot easier, man. It's so, Kevin, it is crazy. That's what I'm saying. In tech, it's just about, and just like, I mean, there's other fields like this too, but it's just get your foot in the door. Any way you can, just get your foot in the door. It doesn't even matter if like you are doing the role that you want. If you're in the industry, that helps so much. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My wife's in tech, and I can confirm that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so you know what it's like. Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, but that's still doing graphic design.
So that actually – so when I – my first job in April 2013, that kind of was more web design. I mean, I guess some of it is kind of graphic, but it – so that was web design. Mm-hmm. And it's visual web design and stuff like that. It's basically web design. And so so my second job was web design, but more focused on the UX side, the user experience. And that was when I actually had my first UX role title.
And where you dove in and let
– Exactly.
A whole lot.
And I'll be honest, when I got hired for that role, I was underqualified for that role. I somehow talked my way into that role. And my first day, I was – I'll be honest, I was kind of nervous. Like, I was like, oh, man, all right, I'm here. Now I need to actually, like, do these things, you know. And, like, I would get questions about things. I was still pretty green, and like I would just be very attentive listening to people talk. Now I'd hear like all these technical acronyms or words or phrases I didn't know, and so I'd like look them up, and like, you know, I was still very much in the like absorbing information phase of my tech career. And so that job was really kind of what took me, you know, that's when I really absorbed like a lot of things around UX design and product management and stuff like that. And so that led me to my next job, which is my current job.
Yeah, how long were you at the second place?
The second place, I was there for about just under a year and a half. So something, yeah. So probably like 16 months.
What caused the move? Was it just you looking for more opportunity or were things?
Yeah, I saw that the company was not going to, the company was kind of like going down. They subsequently folded 3 months after I left. So, the writing was kind of on the wall. And so I was like, I'm not really going to have an opportunity to really go anywhere else at this company. There's nothing else, you know, I could really do. So I looked for other opportunities. And, and so then from there, I found this place where I work now at Stack Commerce. And, I took a job here.
Awesome. And here you are.
And here I am.
Great. So how long have you been there again? Like a year and a half, you said?
My current job?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've been here about 2.5 years now.
Gotcha. Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll move on to the third part of the interview. You've told us about your experience of music so far. How you're currently still involved with music, which is great. I'd like you to think back to your Berkeley education and what you do now. You did mention earlier that you feel like improvisation is a lot of your current job.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking back to, is there anything else that, let's say, relative to going to college somewhere else, that your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Yeah, so when I started Berkeley, when I first got into Berkeley, I was like just getting into jazz, and so like I knew a little bit of it. I wasn't like super shreddy on soloing over changes and stuff like that. There was definitely some times where I was put into situations. You know what it's like being there. In some of the ensemble classes, it's like, all right, Braden, so you'll take the first solo and then blah, 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 do the solo. And I'm like, oh shoot, you know, can I solo over these changes, you know? And so it's like, it was like, hey, I'm here now. Like this is Berkeley. And, it's like an elevated level of musicianship. I need to be at that level. And so the situation of kind of being thrown in and just like learn as much as you can, as fast as you can, that like I learned how to do that at Berkeley. And that principle I learned to apply pretty much anywhere else in my life. And that's been really successful for me.
A great answer. All right, let's turn the question around now. Because, of course, Berkeley gives that one degree, a Bachelor of Music degree.
Mm-hmm.
You went there knowing that.
Yep.
But all that said, is there anything where you look back at your Berkeley education, you say, you know, hey, would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or inadequate?
Great question. So I took an entrepreneurship class at Berkeley, which I'm sure you guys still offer. and I don't know like, cause as, and that was like one of the last classes I took in my last semester. And cause I was like, okay, I learned all this stuff. Like, now what do I do with it? Right. And so,
that would be a music business class, I assume.
Yeah, it would be like it was kind of like a music business type class, but it was basically, hey, you're a musician now. Here's how to like make a living as a musician. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't really get what I was looking for out of that class, because I left Berkeley and I had like these skills, but not really the real world application of knowing how to apply them. That's one thing. But two things, like when I graduated, it was at a very funny time in music, because like nowadays, like social channels are so big for musicians, like Instagram and YouTube. Like YouTube was around, but it just came out. Like when I graduated, it wasn't like a platform for people to like really, you know, showcase like their music on a grand scale, or people didn't go to YouTube to listen to music, you know. And so there was like this quasi, when I left Berkeley, the music world was in a state of flux. So I don't even know if Berkeley could have done anything more to help me in that, because the music industry was still changing, and like there wasn't here's how you do it like exactly one way. But
yeah, you don't have more guidance on how to help a musician make a living.
Right. And like there was in the entrepreneurship class, I remember like them teaching like, hey, you know, like making a musician as like being your own musician, as far as like starting your own band. And it was very much like kind of grassroots style stuff. But I think it would have been cool to look at other applications in which, you know, you can apply, you know, this skill, I guess, and other avenues, I guess. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. Well, you know, here, listening back to your career, it sounds like you lived the musician's dream or something for a couple of years.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then, you know, then you're like, okay, composition, this graphic design. Oh, hey, this is fun. And all right. There was that painful 6 months between when you decide you wanted to do it and when you started doing it.
Right.
But at least, you know, you were aimed at that direction, had a kind of painful 6 months before you got the first job, and then you've been just on a steady upward trajectory ever since.
Oh, yeah. I never thought that I would be here. I am very happy, and I feel really like grateful and blessed that I have been able to find two passions essentially, and have been able to do both of them for a living. And I feel, you know, a lot of people don't find one passion that they get to do for a living, and I always try and encourage, like now the tables have turned and I spend a lot of my time trying to encourage others or help others, guide others to like find what they love and pursue that, because I had to do that on my own. And like I learned a lot of things along the way. And so I love talking to people about, you know, what they're interested in and like, you know, like what, you know, like what do they want to do? You know,
good. Cause I was going to say, I'm asking if you have advice for other people who perhaps haven't found that path or that passion yet.
Absolutely. So my advice I have for that is, first of all, identify what you're passionate about. If you don't know what you're passionate about, just try one thing that you're remotely interested in, and or just try something. You may find that you're interested in it, and you may find that you don't want anything to do with that. But either way, it's going to guide you closer and closer to finding you something that you're interested in. Now, once you know what you're interested in, then it's just a matter of finding out, okay, how do I do this for a living? It doesn't matter if you like are interested in design or electrical engineering Or you could just have a passion about playing cards. So like there in today's world, there's so much opportunity for anyone in any industry to make us to be successful for themselves. You could start a blog about anything, start a YouTube channel that goes along with that. You build up an audience, you get ad revenue from YouTube channel, you could put ads on your site, you get ad revenue from your sites, then you get sponsored deals and content and et cetera, and then all of a sudden you're making a living doing playing card deck reviews. And it's like and you love that, and it's like you can do that about anything. And it's like before, like I feel like there is more opportunity to do things like that now than there has ever been. So
Sure.
I just recommend just find your passion and just pursue that. You can absolutely do what you love.
Awesome. So, to sort of zoom in a little bit,
Yeah.
because again, you're somewhere around my 80th interview, and I don't know if you looked at the other BerkeleyGrads.com page, but
I haven't yet.
no worries. The interviews are all there. There's kind of a big index where people are listed by careers. You're my second or third product designer.
Oh, nice.
And so, the point is, you can imagine very few people are going to hit all 80 interviews.
Sure.
But, right, people who are like, ooh, product designer, hey, that's interesting, or maybe they're even sort of considering that as a career. So, you get like the people listening to this are the ones who clicked on product. You next to product designer. So for
Yeah.
people thinking about like, hey, product design, good money, good creativity, technical, but let's say not too like deep into writing code,
Right.
that like someone who's like, hey, yeah, sign me up. Like, what advice do you have for them? People who are like really would sort of like to get into it as a career,
Yep.
aren't there yet.
So everything you touched on is right. The money is very good. I'm at a very different price point now than when I started, and it works very nice. But so to get started in this, if this is something that you're interested in, there's a bunch of websites out there to learn how to design. I mean, there's literally like dozens of great websites. If you just Google product design best practices, you'll get a ton of pages that have all really good information. I have like a bookmarks folder in my browser that has a list of all these great either articles or reports or tutorials, and I just store them. And then like when someone like emails me, it's like, hey, do you have any sites that like you could direct me? And I send them that folder essentially. And so because that's these are the there's a lot out there, and it can be daunting because there is a lot out there. It's like, hey, which one is which do I choose, and which one is more relevant? I had to figure that on my own. That's kind of why I keep a bookmark of these things that I feel are the most important things to learn. And so I would encourage anyone who's listening to this, I mean, feel free to email me, and I'll send you some information.
Oh, that's very nice. And by the way, is LinkedIn a good way to reach you?
Yeah, you can reach me on LinkedIn. Yeah, that works. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, hey, just have one last question for you,
Sure.
which is, you have the mic and you're being recorded. So,
All right.
is there anything else you'd like to say? Anything we missed?
Nothing, I guess, too crazy. I guess one of the things, I remember, I get the Berkeley, the monthly magazine that comes in. I remember
Berkeley
seeing
Today, I think.
Berkeley Today, thank you. I remember seeing an article, this was a long time ago, it might have even been when I was at Berkeley, about like what alumni are doing outside of music. And I remember seeing that, and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And I remember there was like a couple authors or something, and that was really cool. And so it was interesting. And when I kind of settled in my career in here, I thought about that, and I thought about like, oh, I've become one of those guys, and I thought, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I never thought I'd be here, but hey, that's life, and it's great. I couldn't ask for anything more right now. So.
Perfect. Well, hey, Braden, I really enjoyed this conversation.
Me too, Kevin.
It's been a glad to hear your story and inspiring that you're still, like, as you say, doing two things that you love.
Absolutely.
Right. Look for a message from me on LinkedIn in the very near future.
All right, sounds
And
good.
have a great day.
You too, Kevin. Take care.
You too. Bye.